Well, good morning, friends. My name is Austin. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's so good to be with you this morning. One of the things that is unique to our community is that in our mission to help people find and follow Jesus together, that we take that togetherness as a core part of what we do and how we gather. And so in our service, we invite you over the next 5 minutes to grab a coffee. We have donuts in the back. And just to get to know one another, because we cannot have community with one another unless we know one another. And so to get to know one another, we help you with a little teaser question. And as Thanksgiving is coming up, the question is, what is your favorite Thanksgiving side? What's your favorite Thanksgiving side? And you can't say turkey. Turkey is not a side, just so you know. All right, take the next 5 minutes and we'll see you back. This morning we are talking about a series called Practicing the Way. As followers of Jesus, we are committed to following the way of Jesus and not our own way. And as we continue to live as disciples of Jesus, there's a paradigm that we believe here that is core to what our lives look like as apprentices of Jesus. They revolve around three different elements. It's to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did. We believe that as we are disciples living the way of Jesus, these will be the markers of our lives. These will be the things that we encounter as we follow Jesus. And as we talk about becoming like Jesus, that we believe in practicing the way, one of the ways of that Jesus practiced was generosity, that the Lord was generous, and he teaches us to be generous as well. And so as I was thinking about like generosity and just what it means, we moved here almost 3 years ago. And one of the things that happened when you're moving is like we had decided to leave a car that wouldn't make it or wasn't worth making it. And so we got here and we had kids and, you know, kids in school, and then I had to go. And so we're like, man, we really can't be a one-car family. So we solicited you guys, our church. Hey, anybody got a car that we could borrow, or particularly a van, right, you know, as we move things from here to there and we get around? And one of the things that I kept thinking about, I was like, if you guys knew my driving record, nobody would let me drive their car. Like, I'm thinking of this guy over here that like lets me drive. Like, the first 3 years, terrible. Oh my goodness. I had so many encounters with the police and my parents, because subsequently, you know, groundings and consequences come. But there's this family that were like, oh, sure, you can have it. Like, we posted it and asked. And within like an hour, we were already getting texts like, hey, we'll just bring it over in about 5 minutes. And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? And over the last 3 years, I want to say something like, I want to say this. When we talk about generosity, like the way that I've seen generosity play out in this church is I've seen meals happen. I've seen people visit just because somebody's been sick, especially during COVID, and having bags of healing and food. I've seen vehicles be given and borrowed. I've seen time be given. I have seen prayers in person, people coming over. I've seen people say their car is broken down, and they go over to a person's shop in this church, and they get it fixed, all out of the generosity of the heart. I've seen people pick up groceries and deliver them to houses. I've seen gifts dropped off at people's houses. I have had seen cards of anniversaries, birthdays, significant dates. This is the reality of not what I have received, but what I've watched this church do for one another. And this is what it looks like to be generous. We had a memorial service here one Saturday. And as we were moving from the memorial into the gym, one of the things that the person came to me, and I was new as a pastor, and they came up to me and said, here's one thing that you need to know about Pine Lake. It cares. It is generous with its space, with its time, with its resources. And so this is who we are, and this is who we are called to be as followers of Jesus. And so in that vein, this morning we want to talk about one thing. That is, through the practice of generosity, we discover the joy of a generous life. And so I want you to turn in your text with me. We're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 6. And starting in verse 19. And so if you have a Bible in front of you, whether that's digital or physical, I encourage you to pull it out, bring up the text, or you can follow along on the screen. And it says this, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there too will be your heart also. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, we come this morning to this place with these people to encounter the living God, the one who sees us, who knows us, and yet still loves us. Father, would you send your Holy Spirit so that we might have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive you this morning. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Friends, one of the things that we are going to do regularly this year, because we believe in that togetherness, our mission of finding and following Jesus together, we also understand that that togetherness allows us to understand that stories of discipleship that we hear from one another, how we engage and hear one another's story might help us grow closer to Jesus. And so this morning, I'm going to invite my friend Matt Chow, who's going to come up and share a little bit about his story around generosity. And I'd just love for you to get to know him and his story around generosity. Would you welcome Matt up?
Hey. All right, just give me a sec here to get my bearings.
It was a light week for me.
All right, so, yeah, I'm not sure how much you want to listen to someone wearing a shirt like this, but today's about generosity, so stay with me, okay? All right, so I'm Matt. I'm happy to be sharing here about something most of you experience, hopefully experience every now and then, generosity. So, you know, what is something that you ask, right? Well, let me actually put a situation in front of you guys so you can think about this here first. So, think about somebody you don't know that well, either at work or at school or, you know, maybe at some parent event or something. And then after the event, you say, hey, let's go out to eat. And then you go out to eat with them. And 45 minutes later, you know, great conversation and everything. The bill comes. And you're like, hey, this is a great opportunity for me to reach out to that person. I'm going to pick up the tab. So you pick up the tab. You say, hey, other person, I got this. And they say, oh, all right, cool, cool. I'll get it next time. All right, cool. That's fine, right? That's reasonable, right? So you pay the bill. Everything is good. And then next time comes, let's say a week later, not too long later, and you're having lunch with that person again. And then the bill comes. And guess what? They don't make a move for it at all, right? Right? So they're like, here's the bill, and the lady puts it there, and you kind of wait a little bit because you feel a little bit like, hey, I got it last time, but nothing happens, right? The bill just stays there, and so you go Dutch, or maybe you pay for it again, or I don't know, whatever it is. Maybe they forgot. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. They forgot, okay? So I'm not about talking about that person today. We're not talking about that person. What we are talking about today is actually quite the opposite. It's about another person, one who gives generously without an agenda or obligation. We're talking about generosity, like Pastor Austin was mentioning, and really how others have shared that with me, how God has exemplified it, and how it shapes our discipleship with Jesus. So let me share a few examples of my life and impact others have had on me with acts of generosity. So a little over 19 years ago, let me just scroll up here, sorry. A little over 19 years ago, and I had to think about that, actually, Bethany was born. So that's our oldest. And my father-in-law, Agnes's dad, decided it's time to retire. And he joked at his retirement party, meet my new boss, Bethany. So what that really meant was, he wanted to spend time with his granddaughter, his first granddaughter. So he retired, and He would come over to the house every day. This is, we were in California at the time. California. So he'd come over every day. He's cooking. He's teaching her things. He's playing with her, keeping her safe and happy, and nurturing that precious granddaughter connection. The kids speak better Chinese than me, and a lot of that's from, you know, the grandparents' interaction and Agnes's talking with them. So fast forward 3 years later, Rena is born, and you know, Rena's over there, and my mother-in-law, she retired, and same thing, came over all the time, both grandparents over, both grandkids, and, you know, taking care of them and building those good relationships. A lot of generosity in that has really paid a lot of dividends off. Every time I see the kids with the grandparents, it is just nothing but joy. Like, I have so much gratitude and so gratefulness in the generosity they've shared. I'm not a grandparent, but I figure as you get older, it gets harder to run around with little kids, right? I'm already getting tired running around with little kids. So, and I'm just at my birthday, just like you, Austin. So, 26 years old. let me keep moving on. So it's hard to say thanks to everybody. And I actually see a lot of people in this room here that I could say thank you to for the generosity you share with my kids. So thanks for that. This whole thing could take forever if we just did that. So I'm going to keep going here. Generosity is giving without expectation or anything in return. Just keep that one in your pocket. So another example is Brian. He's one of my former work colleagues. More importantly, he's actually one of my best friends today. How did he become my best friend? Well, Brian and I would go out to work. We would go to work. I felt like we actually went out to lunch a lot, so maybe we weren't working that much. But anyway, we went out to lunch a lot. In-N-Out Burger, Costco Pizza, hot dog, sushi, Korean barbecue, you name it. You name it, we ate it. So one meal I'd pay, one meal he'd pay. We just stopped caring after a while. We didn't even keep count, right? Sometimes you keep count, but you know, I don't know. After a while, we didn't care. So that generous nature has spanned over 20-something years of friendship, and it's actually nurtured our growth together as friends through life stages. Agnes and I getting married, having kids. Brian's kid getting married, having kids of his own. Brian, today, he's in California, but he shares with me his generosity. Like, if you ever have a problem in the house, and you don't know how to fix that light switch or that thing, he's the electrical guy. He's the guy you call. He's always like, okay, sure, I'll talk to you. 1 hour, 2 hour, we're on the phone trying to figure out, well, what's the load or what's the line or what's this green wire or what's this white wire so I don't kill myself. And he's always sharing. So a lot of giving there. And then when it comes to tech, computer stuff, he's like, hey, Matt, help me out with that. So a lot of generosity has yielded this great relationship, and we still help each other today. So generosity, giving, not taking. And so it doesn't have to be lifelong friends or even family involved when it comes to generosity. In fact, just this last week, I was looking for some mountain bike parts and looking like on, you know, Craigslist, Facebook Market, OfferUp, and I found this one seller in Fremont, not Fremont, California, but Fremont, you know, North Seattle. And I contacted him. He had it on there, you know, this part, all free. And I'm like, free, right? Even if I don't need it, it's free. So I met him. He wasn't at the door. He just kind of left it outside because it's free. So I guess he felt he wouldn't get ripped off, right? So he left it outside. I brought a little six-pack of Coke. I left it there. And he didn't ask for anything, but his cycle of generosity kind of led me to do something. Little thing, right? Six-pack Coke, $5, right? So his cycle started something, then I did something, and it really doesn't have to be a major event. Generosity doesn't have to be major. Even the little small things make impact. So I bet he doesn't know I'm talking about him today. Okay, so enough about my stories. I hope you all have yours as well. We'll get to that later. Generosity can be seen through many things, such as time gift and talents. So God continues to be generous with me, always being there when I need to talk, through his provisions like this church facility, all his people, and the blessings and the impact it's had on my family and friends. In like, I sometimes find myself volunteering at kids' events or mentoring colleagues at work, helping neighbors with odds and ends, or who knows, maybe even the little things, you know, open up some bigger doors. So with this holiday season upon us, I'm trying to find new opportunities to show generosity, especially in how I spend my time. Being in the moment and with others and giving them undivided attention is so difficult, right? I mean, we get distracted. Your phone beeps or vibrates or something. You're trying to spend time with your mom or your someone at work who's sharing something deep. We get distracted. So I'm trying to be, personally, a little more engaged and not just be there physically, right? Sometimes physically we check it off as being quality time, but, you know, being there in mind as well is very important. So that's me. That's the stretch goal for me here. So on the flip side, and not often enough also, I should be grateful for God's generosity. Like, we look past that all the time. We sometimes take that for granted, right? We know God's going to be there, and yet we sometimes forget all that he's given us. So I want you all, this is the application part of the service here, I want you all to kind of think of a moment you got something you didn't deserve. Like, think of something you didn't deserve. Like, I have a lot of those, but, like, I got those free parts. But think of something you did not deserve. And, you know, really, for the next minute, if you're comfortable doing so, I'm going to ask you to look to someone to your left or right or, you know, behind or in front of you. Share with them something that maybe you didn't deserve, an act of generosity that was provided to you, or that you did unto others. And honestly, if that's difficult to do, think of something you might want to do this week, right? Think of something you might want to do this week. So you're not shunning you for not being a generous person, but yes, yet you, in the future, you know, maybe there's another opportunity for that. So I'm going to give you 1 minute starting right now. Can you time me here, Austin? Okay, and we're going to do that right now. So you get up. If you want to go and grab your donut that you forgot it or something, you can do that too. But 1 minute starting now. Share something, generosity, past experience, or that you might do this week. Starting now. All right, folks. Can I get everybody's attention back here again? Do I have to call people's names who are not looking this way? Janine. Okay, so sorry if that wasn't enough time. Honestly, I love talking with people here in the church, and if Austin gave me more time, I'd probably just say, let's just talk the whole time. But we're nearing the finish line, so hopefully y'all had a good chance to chat with somebody. If you talked about generosity, great. If you talk about other stuff, that's fine as well. It's all good fellowship. Okay, so imagine God's generosity towards us, his children. We cannot repay him, but instead maybe we can pass along some of that generosity to the next person. I keep, or at least I try to keep grounded, knowing he gave so that we should too. As God has been generous to us, when we're generous to others, it opens doors to deeper relationship with people. And hopefully that spirit of generosity grows in the next person. Just think about it. How would you feel if someone takes care of your dinner? Are you more receptive to what that person has to say? Do you have more respect in them? Hopefully yes. And maybe it plants a seed in you to be generous to the next person. So you never know where that generosity will lead. Thanks, everybody.
As Matt and I were talking about, I just want to pull out a couple things for us that you might have. There are just so many nuggets in there, but I want to leave you with a few things that kind of was pulled out of Matt's kind of story and the things that maybe you could connect with. This idea of like, being blessed, or the word bless, is both an identity and a calling. Did you hear how sometimes, like, how Matt was saying about how it was like that cyclical, like somebody would do something for you and then you would do something for them? And that is like, honestly, like since the movement of like pay it forward, that's kind of where we felt like this in culture has kind of started to take a pervasive nature in it. But for us as Christian, it is an identity. That it is an identity, it is who we are. We are blessed. And you might say, like, right now, you might not feel like it. You might not feel like you are blessed and you are being blessed. But Paul says it, and he goes, that you're blessed because you have the gift of understanding and knowing who Jesus is in your life and what he has done for you. It is an identity that you are blessed. That you have a gift, you have all of it. And so in the text, this comes from this idea of right in the beginning of God calling his people in Genesis. Like at the beginning, he's giving his people an identity and a blessing. He says, I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you. And I will make a great name for you, and you'll be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those, or whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. You are both it is an identity and a calling. It is who you have been made to be. When God has adopted us, even as people who are not the people of Israel, but we are Gentiles, we have been invited into that same relationship. If you are God's people, the identity that comes in you is that you don't just do it because somebody else has done it for you. You do it because it is who you have been. You are blessed. Are. Not will, might, if, but you are. You are blessed. And because you are blessed, you are now called to be a blessing. What is mine is yours. Mi casa es su casa. Open hands, not clenched fists. That we believe that what is mine is yours. And we have this identity that leads into a calling. A calling is something that we want to do, that we might do if we live fully into our identity. The calling is fueled by the identity. If you don't have the identity, you will never live into the calling because you're doing it out of the expectation or the semblance of what you owe somebody. But you are blessed, and so you are a blessing. And one of the things that Matt pulled out is that in that identity, that we become generous. We become generous. We are becoming like Jesus because he is generous. And Matt pulled that out, and he goes, it's not the practice of generosity doesn't just come from doing, but is becoming the one who is generous. Like generosity flows out of who Jesus and God is, not out of what they do in humanity. They didn't look and create man and woman in its own image and say it was good, that all creation is good to be generous because they were doing it because it was who they were. It is us because that is who he is. And here's a text that I know that we hear all the time, and I remember growing up memorizing. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave. He gave. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That God the Father sent his only son to us before we deserved it. And that son gave his life. And the Father and the Son gave the Holy Spirit to us right now so that we have the presence of the living God with us in our midst. The good life is found in giving than receiving. Giving our commodities, our resources for giving. I love that word, like, that Jesus forgave us. But if you bring those two, it forgiving. That Jesus didn't lay down his life because we earned it, but it's for him to give to us. For us to receive before we deserve the mercy God gave freely. And so whatever you have is for giving. Whether it's your time, like Matt said, whether it's your resources, whether it's your money, whether it's your possessions, it is for the act of giving to someone. The practice of generosity mirrors that of Jesus, who gave before they even deserve it. Gave before they even asked for it. The aspect of generosity is that Jesus, before any of his disciples ever said, "Ooh, could you die for me? Because I'm messed up." They might think like us today in our generation that we're actually pretty good and we only need Jesus for a fraction of our life for the badness, because our overwhelming goodness can cover a lot of our multitude of sins. The practice of generosity is God giving freely before any of us expected, before he got anything in return from us. He moved. Before you could give, God gave. Before you could respond in acts of worship and thanksgiving to God, he gave. The practice of generosity is creating space in your life where you can give to people before they can give back or expect or express. You might say the practice of generosity is first asking for eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that has the courage to act. Being generous, as we said earlier, it's something that you discover. The practice of generosity won't lead you towards being more generous. It will lead you to discover the joy in generosity, the joy of sharing what you have with others, not because they deserve it, but because you loved them. That Jesus was generous with his life, not because we deserved it, but because he loved us. A core part of being practicers of generosity is that the core is an identity that he loved us, and so we love others. We bless not to earn it, but because we love. That the good life would say that we are people who are becoming love as we are formed by love. And as we are formed by love, we can't help and share it in generous ways beyond expectations. Would you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, this morning you have spoken and you are speaking and you will be speaking. So we take a breath this moment. Quiet our minds and open our ears and our heart to hear. Holy Spirit, what are you saying this morning to us? Holy Spirit, what are we holding on to with clenched fists? Where you're asking us to open them up and to give what we hold away. Holy Spirit, speak words of generous love to us who have woken up this morning and don't deserve them, but yet you still give them. We are your people. You are our God. Amen.